size, born in Yeshua, born in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, born in Messiah, born in Yeshua's love.
Okay, stop, stop, hold on. Both of those terms are incorrect. Let's correct this. Judah and Israel.
One in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel.
One in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father, to love one another. We humble hearts, forgive each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together, so the world might believe.
Judah and Israel. Judah and Israel,
born in Messiah, born in Yeshua's love, born in Yeshua's love.
To the Israelite saints who mistakenly call yourselves Gentiles, greetings in the name of Yeshua the Anointed, and may His divine influence be sparked within you and lead you out of darkness. This is part 3 of Gentiles. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Gentiles is found in the Word Studies menu. We have learned that the Latin word Gentile is not an original Hebrew or Greek word from the Bible, and is used for contextual translation. In other words, it was inserted or embedded into the scriptures to change the context. Latin and later English translators selectively used the term Gentiles. The Mormon Church uses it to describe those not a part of their church, and our so-called Christian churches call themselves Gentiles and believe the doctrine built upon the false definition of a word that does not mean non-Jew. It is evident each denomination uses the word Gentile to suit their own doctrine. In their ignorance, and because they are deceived, they don't see the Gentile doctrine simply does not make any sense. The descendants of Noah were not divided in their Gentiles. Abram was not going to be made a great Gentile. Abram was not going to be a father of many Gentiles. Isaac's wife Rebekah was not a Jewess with 2 baby Gentiles in her womb, and Rebekah was not the mother of the Gentiles. Egypt did not become a Gentile. Yahweh did not set apart the Jews to be a holy Gentile. Amalek and the sons of Cain are Jews and will be destroyed, and they are called Goyim, proving that Gentiles just means nations. In this case, nations devoted to destruction. The people who crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land were Goyim, which also shows that Israelites are Goyim too, because Goyim means people. Joshua circumcised all the Goyim when they crossed the Jordan. Many times Goyim is used to describe the Adamic brothers of Israel. Even the Apocrypha has been tampered with. We can clearly see that Israelites are called Goyim in the Apocrypha as well, because Goyim just means nations. In the Maccabees, they put Gentiles where it should read Greeks, which are Goyim as well, because the Greeks are a nation of people too, and that of the sons of Adam and some of the children of Israel. If people would study instead of suffocating in their pew and believing the pimp in the pulpit that's leading them in the ditch, they would see that the word Gentile has no place in Scripture and that it is a stumbling block and satanic agenda to remove our people from their identity, heritage, and God. This study, which exposes the false Gentile doctrine, will win every time in court. Yahweh's truth will always triumph and reveal Jewish fables. Let's get right into it. Psalm 9:5. You have rebuked the heathen. You have destroyed the wicked. You have put out their name forever and ever. If heathen is H1471 goyim, the same as Gentile, H1471, and if we are supposed Gentiles, then we are wicked and we will be destroyed forever and ever. If the Jews and the church's definition of Gentiles was accurate, then how can Gentiles be saved when Yahweh has rebuked them and put out their name forever and ever? Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whom Elohim is Yahweh, and the people whom he has chosen for his own possession. Yahweh watches from the sky. He beholds all the sons of Adam. There are four italicized words in verse 12 which are added by the translators, two of which should not be there. They break up the context, which, when read correctly, is referring to the nations of Israel. It should read, "Blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance." Yahweh has only chosen the children of Israel as his people. This never changes throughout the whole Bible. Nowhere does Yahweh break his covenant and add the church or Gentiles or anyone else. The churches teach that Yahweh added the Gentiles and the church. Psalm 59:8. But you, O Yahweh, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the heathen in derision. If we are all Gentiles, then we will all be laughed at and mocked by Yahweh. But apparently he changes his mind in the New Testament and decided to include Gentiles who accept him into the fold. Psalm 79:1. O Elohim, the heathen are come into your inheritance. Your holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Yerushalayim on heaps. If you believe the church meaning of Gentiles, then you defile the temple and Yahweh's inheritance. Did you know in the temple days, only Israelites were allowed to enter the inner courts? The outer courts were for the Adamic kinsmen, and the other races were not permitted in at all. In Acts 21, the Jews from Asia stirred up the people. They remembered seeing Paul bring Trophimus, a Greek, into the temple before, and now bringing in more Greeks. This is because Paul was the apostle to the lost sheep, which many were Israelite Greeks. Being a Greek, you would know more about the mythical gods than of the Father and the Son. Just like our people today, poisoned by 33,000 doses of snake venom called denominations, know more about Jaime Jesus, the magic jingles of Just Believe, I'm Saved, His Grace is Sufficient, and all the Jewish fables, while they eat a baked ham on Christmas rather than know their true identity and relation to the Father and the Son. Psalm 83:1. Keep not you silence, O Elohim. Hold not your peace, and be not still, O Elohim. For lo, your hated enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have exalted themselves. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and conspired against your hidden ones. They have said, "Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Israel is going to be cut off from being Gentiles? Are you starting to see how the word Gentiles is only used when it supports the idea that the Jews are Israel? It wouldn't make sense here in verse 4, but it's the same Hebrew word where the Latin word Gentiles is strategically placed. Why are Yahweh's people hidden ones? Because we are the ones who are the crazy ones. Isn't everybody else either Jew or Gentile? So in a world where everybody knows the Jews and the Gentiles, and if the Jews are the children of the devil and the Gentiles are all races who've accepted Jesus, and everybody knows the atheists and non-believers because they are not hidden either, then who is left? A small group that goes unnoticed or are considered crazy, the 1%, the remnant. But the remnant knows who we are, and we are hidden because only we know who we are, and the Gentiles have no clue because they think the Jews are God's people and that the Gentiles are God's people too, and that the remnant are the crazy ones that are lost and need to accept Jesus. When these Gentiles are in fact and in reality trying to get the remnant of God's people to accept Jewish Jesus, and therefore making every soul on earth Satan's, and when Christ returns, Satan will say, "These are all my children. Where are yours? See, they all obey me." Psalm 117:1. O praise Yahweh, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. This is the second time Israel is called "you nations" directly. Verse 2. For His loving commitment is great toward us, and the truth of Yahweh endures forever. Praise you, Yahweh. This is the Old Testament, so it's supposedly about the Jews, right? Were Gentiles living with Israel in the time of David? No. Did Yahweh covenant with Gentiles and promise them loving commitment in the Old Testament? No. So who is David talking to? The nations of Israel, the people of the promise. That would be Israelites, not Jews. If you do not understand that the Jews are not Israel, then you will not understand Scripture. Psalm 147:19. He shows His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise you, Yahweh. This psalm shows that Adamic Israel is His chosen people. No others qualify. The churches believe that the Old Testament is about the Jews, and that God changes His mind and anger towards the Gentiles in the New Testament and adds them to His covenant, or even makes a special covenant with them. But now apparently Yahweh has a special covenant with Israel and now with Gentiles. That changes the whole Word of God. That makes God one who goes back on His promises. And that makes God's special, set-apart, peculiar, chosen people not so special, set-apart, peculiar, or chosen, because He accepts everybody now. Can we trust a wishy-washy God? No, but we can trust Yahweh and His Word, and not the Jewish perversions of it and the church's repeated ignorance of it, which makes it wishy-washy. And we can use our common sense, the study tools He provides, the divine influence, and the obvious context of Scripture to reveal the truth. The Gentile doctrine cannot stand against the truth. In the Psalms, H1471 Goyim is used 60 times as heathen and nations. Proverbs uses H1471 Goyim once. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Septuagint reads, righteousness exalts a nation, but sins diminish tribes. The Jew state of Israel could never be exalted, because they could never be righteous. Not only do they have the blood of Abel to Zacharias on them, but every Adamite and Israelite, including Christ Yeshua. Nation comes from Goyim, and people comes from H3816 Leom, which means a community of people, which would be Israelites. Did you know that Jacob had 12 sons, which can easily be traced to the white Caucasian nations of the world today, with all 12 regathered here in America, which means my people, plentiful land? Did you know that Jacob's brother Esau also had 11 sons called dukes or chieftains, which can easily be traced to the modern-day Jew? Genesis 36:6, and Esau took his Hittite wives, and his sons and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob, for their riches were more than that they could dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. These are the real Dukes of Hazzard, but they would have the world think they are just good old boys, never meaning no harm. Beats all you ever saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they were born. Hazzard, as a noun, means a fall. It's a chance, an accident, a casualty, that which falls or comes suddenly or unexpectedly, the cause of which is unknown, or whose operation is unforeseen or unexpected. It's danger, peril, risk. Hazard, as a verb, is to expose to chance, to put in danger or loss or injury, to venture, to risk, as to hazard life, to save a friend, to hazard an estate on the throw of a dice, to hazard salvation for temporal pleasure. If the Jews are Edomites, and Edomites are the children of Esau and Canaanite wives with the satanic blood of Cain in them, then does that make Lucifer the General Lee? And parents, keep your sons away from that evil Daisy Dukes, for she will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods and hie me Jesus. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. The book of Jasher, chapters 37 through 40, tell in great detail of the wars between the sons of Jacob and the sons of Esau and Cain. 11 is the number of disorder, chaos, imperfection, and disintegration and judgment. 11 is a satanic, Antichrist, Illuminati, Freemasonic, and occultist number. Crowley says it is a magic number. It is a witchcraft number. Coming after 10, which represents law and responsibility, the number 11 represents the opposite, which is the irresponsibility of breaking the law, which brings disorder and judgment. The First World War ended on the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month. New York became the 11th state of the United States on July 26, 1788. The first plane to hit the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001 was American Airlines Flight 11. September 11th is the 254th day of the year. 2 plus 5 plus 4 equals 11. Israel was accepted as a member of the United Nations on May 11, 1949. Does anybody else see a pattern of 11 and the Dukes of Edom? Wisdom of Solomon 14:6. For in the old time also, when the arrogant giants perished, the hope of the world, guided by your hand, took refuge in the weak vessel on a raft, and left to all ages a seed of new generation, Noah and his family. For blessed is the wood whereby righteousness cometh, but that the idol which is made with hands is cursed, as well it as he that made it. He, because he made it, and it, because, being corruptible, it was called God. For the ungodly and his ungodliness are both alike hateful unto God. For that which is made shall be punished together with him that made it. Therefore, even upon the idols of the Gentiles, or the nations, meaning the Greeks, shall there be a visitation, because though part of what Elohim created, they are become an abomination, and stumbling blocks to the souls of men, and a snare to the feet of the unwise and foolish. The Geneva has idols of the nations. Taking something Yahweh made and perverting it and worshiping it is an abomination. Wood and stones made into idols, transgenderism, denominational religion, are all abominations. Isaiah 1:1. The prophetic vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. This spanned from about 791 to 684 B.C. Verse 2. Hear, O skies, and give ear, O land, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. The people of Judah, supposed Jews, are sinful Gentiles? No. The people of Judah are Israelites of the house of Judah. No tribe of Jacob is Jewish. Jacob's two wives and two concubines did not have 11 Israelite sons and one Jew. But three Jewish men can have a baby, if you've seen that one. They are gone away is from H 21:14, Zur, to be strange, be a stranger or enemy, estranged. Backward is G 268, Akor, which means behind, without. We are become as strangers and enemies to Yahweh when we go behind his back and disobey, and we will find ourselves without. Chapter 5 is judgment pronounced on Judah for their race mixing and idolatry. Isaiah 5:24. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of Yahweh of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of Yahweh kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them, and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, referring to the Assyrians, and will whistle unto them from the ends of the land, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. The nations that came from afar is the coming Assyrian invasion of Israel. How can the Assyrians be Gentiles when their ancestor is Shem? Because Shem was not a Jew, neither were the Assyrians. Yahweh roused up the Assyrians to punish Israel and Judah for their abominations. The Assyrians are descendants of Asher, which are descendants of Shem, and are Adamic peoples, which, when traced back, are shown to be white Adamic nations. The churches don't believe the Hebrew words and meanings, the historical and archaeological records, or the Word of God. They just believe the pulpit bastard, and all they care about is that they are Gentiles saved by grace, saved already, prayed up, paid up, and waiting to go up. They will go up, only in flames. Yahweh will not be mocked, and this study is showing just how deliberate and subtle tampering easily fools the lazy, uneducated, non-studying, gullible fools our people have become into mistaking identity, which is the goal of the Jew, to remove us from our heritage, from our identity, and from our God through ignorance, which results in unwittingly mocking ourselves and Yahweh and becoming Antichrist walking dead. Isaiah 10:5. O Assyrian, the rod of my anger, and the staff in their hand is my indignation. Yahweh uses the other nations to punish us, both the nations of our own race and of the other races. Verse 6. I will send him, the Assyrians, against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him, the Assyrians, a charge, to take the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread Israel down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he does not intend so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. They were hell-bent on not destroying some nations, but many. Genesis 50:20. But as for you, Joseph's brothers, you thought evil against me, Joseph, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. We can't understand Yahweh's every plan, but we can know that every plan of his is righteous and for good. When Yahweh punished Israel, many died and many were taken captive, but this was to purge out the unrighteous, and the righteous ones were preserved through it, and survived, and learned reverence. In verse 6, the hypocritical nation is Israel. The nation as a whole was guilty. Hypocritical is H 26:11, konaf, and means godless, profane, soiled with sin. The children of Israel had become profane, multi-god-worshipping, soiled with sin, race-mixing, idolatrous whores, which were going into punishment and bondage for it. Note, the Jews in John 8:33 claim they were never in bondage to any man, unwittingly telling the truth, because the Israelites were in bondage throughout history, even to the present day. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and today through usury, religious deception, and becoming corporations under the jurisdiction of maritime law, which happens when we receive our surname on our birth certificates, which is not our Christian name, thereby losing our standing and dominion, which is given by Yahweh, for a spot on their Jewish ship where we have no rights. We have been fooled into giving up our identity, inheritance, and ultimately our salvation. Verse 10 is the first time Gentiles is used in Isaiah. Isaiah 11:10, And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Sounds like a prophecy of the Gentiles trusting in Jesus, right? Wrong. The churches avoid the following verses which reveal the context further. Verse 11, And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, which is Babylon, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Were Gentiles the remnant of his people which were scattered among the nations? No, it was his people Israel and Judah which were divorced, punished, sent into bondage, and scattered among these nations, and promised reconciliation through the gospel. Verse 12, And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. John 7:35 reads, Then said the Judeans among themselves, Where will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the nations, and teach the nations? We will see in the New Testament that the supposed Gentiles Christ will send unto and teach are these very Israelites that were cast off and scattered. Why would Christ go and teach the Gentiles when he specifically states not to go to the Gentiles, and that rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? He didn't. Yahweh doesn't contradict himself. The churches and the Jews do. Verse 12 is a prophecy of reconciling and regathering the outcasts of Israel and the dispersed of Judah before they are even taken captive. Where is the prophecy of the Gentiles being gathered in? Only in the minds of those who are deceived and out of the mouths of liars. Oracle of Yahuda, which is Judah. Isaiah 26:1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will Elohim appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. The context is Judah, which when they obey and guard the truth are a righteous nation. If Judah is supposedly the Jews, then how can they be righteous Gentiles? They can't. The Jews are not, never were, nor will ever be righteous, according to the red letters of Christ. The children of Israel that returned from exile and captivity were a righteous remnant. Continuing with the Oracle of Judah, verse 13, O Yahweh, our Elohim, other lords beside you have had dominion over us, like Hermogenes and the Lord Baal. But by you only will we make mention of your name. Remember, Jews were never in bondage to no one. They also declared the name too holy to speak, and removed it from the translations, and replacing it with the title of their god, Baal, the Lord. The context is speaking of the children of Israel, which are being destroyed and taken captive because of their transgressions. Verse 14, They are dead, they shall not live, and they are spiritually dead, they shall not rise. Therefore you have punished and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. You have increased the nation, O Yahweh, you have increased the nation. You are glorified, you shall expand all the borders of the land. Why would Yahweh be talking about increasing the Gentiles during his oracle of Judah. Because he is not talking about the Gentiles, he is talking about how those that survive this punishment will increase in number and expand their borders, which our ancestors did. Most of them did not return to the land. They went on to settle in the Greco-Roman world and into Europe and eventually America. Judgment on the nations. Isaiah 34:1. Come near, you nations, to hear, and hearken, you people. Let the land hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. The nations, in verse 1, is referring to the nations of Israel and their peoples in the communities. Then it says, let the land hear, and the world. The next verse expands the context to all nations of those lands. Verse 2, for the indignation of Yahweh is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. And he has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. And all the hosts of the heaven, the fallen angels, shall be dissolved, and the skies shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down, as the leaf falls off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. The hosts of heaven, the gods and goddesses of the ancient pagan world that represented them, were worshipped by the children of Israel. Verse 5, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse, to judgment. The Hebrew starts verse 5 as, for my sword shall be intoxicated, or drunk with blood, in the sky. Idumea are the Edomite Jews, descendants of Esau. The people of Yahweh's curse are the Jews, the Canaanites, the Edomites, the offspring of the fallen angels, the scribes, Sadducees and Pharisees, and the Herodians. Ezekiel 36:5, therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the nations, and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession, with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. This officially happened in 1948 when the Edomite Jews appointed my land into their possession, brought about by the careful banking strategies called World War I and II. Verse 6, the sword of Yahweh is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For Yahweh has a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. So these Jews of Idumea will bleed all over Yahweh's sword. They are included with all the nations. So are the Jews being called Gentiles? Yes, because by the added definition of non-Jew, which they inserted, they unwittingly exposed themselves as deceivers, as the word goyim simply means nations. The book of Obadiah is 21 verses of the fate of the Jews. Chapter 49 is a rhetorical discussion between Jacob and Isaiah speaking for Jacob. Jacob, of course, represents the children of Israel. In the first 5 verses, the children of Jacob are the subject, as Rebekah is implied. Yahweh states that Israel is his servant. Isaiah speaking, Isaiah 49:5, and now saith Yahweh that formed me, Isaiah, from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Isaiah was called to preach and prophesy to the children of Jacob. Now Yahweh speaks, "Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall you, Jacob, be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh, and your God shall be your strength." And Yahweh said, "It is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I, Yahweh, will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the land." The Septuagint reads verse 6, "And he said to me, It is a great thing for you to be called my servant, to establish the tribes of Jacob, and to recover the dispersion of Israel. Behold, I, Yahweh, have given you for the covenant of a race, for a light of the nations, that you should be for salvation to the end of the land." Verse 7, "Thus says Yahweh, the kinsman redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him, Jacob, whom man despises, to him, Jacob, whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of Yahweh that is steadfast, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose you." The churches would have you believe that this is talking about the Gentiles, but once again, the context is about the children of Jacob, as verse 6 clearly states. Yahweh has chosen Isaiah to exhort his people. This is also talking about Yeshua Christ, who was despised and abhorred, and he brought the gospel message to his kinsmen of Israel, which was prophesied here in the Old Testament. The watchmen, the prophets, the apostles and disciples, and Christ are for a light to the nations of Israel. Because of disobedience, captivity, being cast off, and because of migration, the nations of Jacob lost and forgot their heritage and knowledge of their identity and of their God Yahweh. It was these lost Israelites that the gospel message was sent to. The new covenant is the reconciliation of both houses of Judah and Israel to Yahweh through the gospel message and Christ. The only difference between the old and new covenants is that the priesthood and the sacrificial rituals were done away with because of the sacrifice of Christ. Now Yeshua is our high priest and mediator. Still think this is talking about the Gentiles? Let's continue in the same chapter and see. Verse 13, "Sing, O skies, and be joyful, O land, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for Yahweh has comforted his people and will have compassion upon his afflicted." But Zion said, "Yahweh has forsaken me, and my God has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget you. The children which you shall have, after you have lost the other, shall say again in your ears, 'The place is too narrow for me. Give place to me, that I may dwell.' Then shall you say in your heart, 'Who has begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who has brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where have they been?" Our population as a race exploded as we migrated into Europe. Branches of our race meeting other branches. Newer settlers crossing paths with older settlers, etc. Verse 22, "Thus says Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your kinsman Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Jacob, the children of Israel, is still the subject. Isaiah 50, verse 1. Thus says Yahweh, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Because for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Deuteronomy 24:1. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. Jeremiah 3:8. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery I had put her away, and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Hosea 2:2. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Chapter 51 of Isaiah is all about Yeshua, kinsman redeemer of Israel. It describes only Israel, the Torah given to Israel, judgment, punishment, and vindication of Israel, the law on the heart of Israel, ransomed Israel, salvation to Israel, and joy and comfort to Israel. Chapter 52 is all about the children of Israel and an end-time prophecy of Israel when we will be awakened from the slumber of Jewish deceptions and poisonous lullabies. Chapter 53 continues with Jacob, Yahweh's servant, which is a reference to all Israelites. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? The churches don't believe the report. Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Yahweh, who has believed our report? The churches think the gospel is for them, the Gentiles, and that's only half true. If they realize that they were not Gentiles, and that many of them are actually Israelites to whom this gospel is for. If they are not white Adamic peoples, then the gospel is just simply not for them. Chapter 54 continues and speaks of the divorce of Israel and the deep compassions of Yahweh for our people, and that he will never break his covenant and loving commitment towards us, and that this is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh. The theme continues in chapter 55. It also states that other nations shall also come to us because we are Yahweh's glorified people. The Septuagint much clearer reads, verse 5 of chapter 55, nations which know you not shall call upon you, and peoples which are not acquainted with you shall flee to you for refuge, for the sake of Yahweh your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Besides the brainwashed church people who ignorantly worship and support the Jews and Israel, which nation of people are sought after because of the blessings of Yahweh? It's not Israel, which is stolen and cursed land occupied by a Jewish Zionist cabal, and the nations of the world don't seek them. They seek America. America is the prophesied regathering place of all 12 tribes. We are the ones that are a blessing to the world. Our people are the ones that brought the gospel to the world, and we are the true children of Jacob. But we are far from righteous. Not a white Christian nation anymore, nor worship Yahweh as a nation anymore. Every so-called Christian denomination is an abomination and a perverted version of Scripture, leading people to the ditch and the second death. We've become a nation of apostate, race-mixed, Antichrist, Jew-loving slaves. Yahweh's presence has left the country, which is now a corporate shipping container on a cruise ship owned by the prince of this age and run by his Jewish children. But Yahweh still preserves his loyal and obedient remnant through it, his hidden ones. Lack of sincerity in fasting and obedience, Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They asked of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to Elohim. Even our ancestors back then did lip service and just went through the motions instead of being sincere. People were outwardly Christians, but inwardly fake. Truth was nowhere to be found. In verse 2, is it saying that the Gentiles should show the Jews their transgressions and sins? No. Is it saying that Gentiles did righteousness and not forsake the ordinance of their God? No. The churches ignore the context, identity, Hebrew words, the words of Isaiah, and what Yahweh said to Israel, and took this molested word Gentiles and its fake non-Jew meaning and write their own doctrine around it. We now have 33,000 fake Christian religions. We now have all of Christendom willfully kidnapped by Satan because they don't know who the hell they are. Isaiah 59 is all about sin and false doctrine, which separates us from Yahweh and the truth. This chapter is about Israel, as is the whole Old Testament and New Testament and Apocrypha. Isaiah 59:20, and the kinsman redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Yahweh. Romans 11:26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. When and where does it ever say, all Gentiles shall be saved, a redeemer for the Gentiles, or turn away ungodliness from Gentiles? It doesn't, because Scripture is one book about the race of Adam and exclusively the family of Jacob. Verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, Jacob, saith Yahweh, my spirit that is upon you, the descendants of Jacob, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. These promises and covenants are genetic to flesh and blood Israelites, not the church or people who claim they become spiritual Israel by just believing. This whole church doctrine is based on one Latin word, gentilis, and it sounds good. It paints God as a loving God who loves everybody, even though he states over and over who his people are. To the unlearned and ignorant believers who don't know anything about the identities of Israel and the Jews, this Gentile doctrine sounds wonderful. Just accept Jesus, claim you're saved, become an adopted Gentile, and wait for the rapture. Because of this blood-sucking tick called Gentile, our people are blind, have no idea who they are and whose they are. Because they believe they are Gentiles, they don't keep the Torah, observe the Sabbaths and feast days, the food laws, and every other command Yahweh gave us. They are no different than the multitudes that just followed Christ around only because they wanted some free food. No different than the foolish virgins that had no oil in their lamps. No different than the son who told his father he would go to work in the vineyard, but went not. No different than those who give lip service and say, "I believe," but do not do. And no different than a transgender man who identifies as a woman. If you, being a white person, identify as a Gentile, then you do not know who you are. You do not know the name you are called by, and you do not know anything about Scripture. Because if you think you are a Gentile, then you are believing the Jews are the Israel of the Bible, and that God adds the Gentiles to the exclusive covenants he made with the children of Israel. But God didn't add anybody else. Gentiles doesn't mean non-Jew. And whatever you believe about Scripture will be based on the false doctrine that is built upon Gentile, which makes the whole Bible something else, because the Scriptures are the book of the race and generations of Adam, who is not a Jew. It matters who and what we believe in. It matters that you know who you are and whose you are. Abraham was not a Jew. Isaac was not a Jew. Jacob and his 12 sons were not Jews. The promise of God says that Abraham will be a father of many nations, his offspring numbered as the stars. The Jews are a small number of demons in skin suits. The white race is the innumerable multitude numbered as the stars, and the ones who brought the gospel to the world, and through whom Yahweh blesses the world.
Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, hey Abraham, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. So shall your offspring be.
Which proves that they're not Jews, because they're not numbered as the stars.
So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Israel had many sons, 12 to be precise. And they would be the fathers of the Israelites.
Which you are too, if you're white.
They were Reuben and Simeon, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, Issachar and Zebulun, Joseph and little Benji. These are the 12 sons of Israel, God's promise fulfilled. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, through them God will bless the world. These are the 12 sons.
Called Goyim in the Old Testament.
These are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Called Ethnos and Hellen in the New Testament.
But how would God bless the world through these 12 sons? Well, a descendant of Judah would come. He'd come to save us from our sins. To save us from from the